Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome into the Scriggs Show for June. I almost said July. We're almost there, but not yet. June 18th, 2026. I am Matt Scraby. Thank you for joining me. If you'd like to watch the show, you can. It's on YouTube. Just go at the Scraby Show. Also, at 97.3 The Fan, Facebook 97.3 The Fan, and X at Matt Scraby. And also at 97.3 The Fantasy. So many different places you could watch the show. And if you are on my YouTube at The Scraby Show, please go and subscribe. So I'm trying to do a campaign for subscribers. And so if you get to my YouTube, please do subscribe at The Scraby Show. T-H-E-S-K-R-A-B as in boy Y show. That's how you find me. We got a lot to talk about tonight on The Scraby Show. I enjoyed the roundtable. I had not heard that yet. That's my favorite thing about the new roundtable, because I'm not able to be a part of it, which is FOMO every single time. But I, you know, I'll deal with it. There's been some great guests this year. There's been a lot of there's been a lot of great conversation that I've picked up along the way. But one of my favorite things to do between the hour of 5 to 6 is listen to the roundtable. And I gotta say, you know, I've read letters to AJ. I did not know you could look up swings to the millisecond. I didn't know that you could look at all this stuff, so I need to go on Baseball Savant and kind of look around. But, you know, Ben said something earlier in the roundtable that I agreed with, which was he said that bloggers are necessary. And I couldn't agree more in this day and age. Like, I understand at a certain point bloggers were just like the crazy fans who put their opinions out there and whatever. But now there are some really, really, really smart people that write really, really great things that may have another full-time job. They may be an accountant by day and a blogger by night. So I don't think there's anything wrong with taking stuff from bloggers. But you know, I guess more smart ideas and more smart opinions are always good, but they have to be smart ideas and they have to be smart opinions. But when I was listening to that, I'm not going to lie, got a little lost. There was a word like skewed and multifactorials being used. So if you understand that stuff, good for you. It's hard for me to understand. I'm not there yet in my baseball knowledge. But if it's useful to you, you can use it. I had a conversation about the Manny and analytics discussion that he had a few weeks ago with the media about how he doesn't really need to follow the analytics or want to follow the analytics. And I don't have any problem if you want to follow the analytics. I don't know that I have any use for Manny's swing speed. I do have use for the swing speed, but I don't have use for like, he's 0.00005 milliseconds away or something. I don't personally have use for that, but other people do. And if you can, you know, figure out something through that, please send it my way, because Manny definitely needs some sort of help going on. Like, it is not still going well for him. We talked about it last night. He's hitting under 200 still. We are many games into the season. We are 83 games into the season. And man, are we still waiting for Manny to catch fire. At some point, I gotta believe it. Chris and I talked about it earlier. Like, I personally believe that at one point, Manny's gonna go on a tear, but I keep saying that. So when is the point where I give up on that and I just hope for the tear but not say it's going to happen? Because what if it doesn't happen? It might not happen. I think that something needs to change. Something big needs to change with Manny here in the next few weeks. I'm not saying it has to be a one-day thing. But if he's able to string a couple good weeks together, if he's able to get that average, hopefully above 200, then things are going in the right direction for him. Maybe it's a little bit easier for him to get in the right direction. And it's a conundrum because he is your best player or supposed best player. He's the guy. The team goes where Manny goes. And what's happening right now? Manny's average to below average. How is the team playing? They are average to below average. So it seems to make sense there in that saying. The team goes the way Manny goes. But they can't keep doing this. They can't. That's the one thing I can think of. It's going to turn around because they can't keep being like this every single night. And during the roundtable, you heard that the Padres have faced the most pitchers over 98 miles an hour. So maybe some vindication for people out there a little bit that the Padres have faced some really tough pitching. But every major league team faces tough pitching. And I'm getting a little frustrated with the tip your cap to the other team. And I understand that's a sportsmanship thing. And as a player, you can tip your cap because you know how good he was. But for me, I don't want to hear that anymore. I don't want to hear, oh, well, he was really good tonight. We're going to tip his cap, or we're going to tip our cap to him. I don't want to hear that anymore. I just want to see results. Like, I have been sitting here on Gwen and Chris and the Scraby Show since the season began saying, everybody just wait. It's going to get better. Everything's going to be fine. But things are not completely fine. And things are, I guess, not getting significantly better, but they're still staying afloat. But I don't want to hear that anymore. I don't want to hear, let's tip my cap. Because you know what? At a certain point, you got to start hitting. If you want to be a team that's going to be playing in the playoffs, you have to start hitting. So sure, you could think that he was really good, and you could say, oh, well, he was just really good tonight. I can't do that right now. I can't. Even though it might be the actual realistic, real-life explanation of what happened that night, I need to see more urgency, and I need to see more of an anger that these pitchers are just picking them apart. I need to see a little bit more of that. Guys are getting frustrated, and I don't want these guys to get down on themselves. I don't want any of that. But they're professionals, and I would have to think that they wake up every morning and they think, how can I be better today? And so you got to think that they are going to be better at a certain point. This team is way too talented to be 38 and 35 right now. And believe me, I am not complaining that they are 38 and 35 because they could be a whole lot worse. So I will be grateful that the team is 38 and 35 right now. I'll be grateful that Fernando is hitting and has like three or four multi-hit games already in the month of June. I'll be grateful that they've been able to steal a lot of bases. Actually, if you want to hear a good stat, as of yesterday, I titled my YouTube today, Padres Therapy. I lied when I titled that this morning because I couldn't come up with any Padres Therapy. Padres Therapy is, I say, basically, my therapist gave me this when I was trying to stop drinking. Every negative thought I have to replace by two positive thoughts. I couldn't come up with enough positive thoughts. So I didn't want to go with that. Where is the stat I put in there? Where is the stat? Oh, no, that's not it. Oh, man, did I delete the stat? Here it is. When the Padres do get on base, they can steal bases. Third in baseball with 71 stolen bases this season. Third in baseball with 71 stolen bases. So there you go. That's a good one. That's a good one. SD Mike says, I think both things are true. They've definitely run into a gauntlet, but they haven't played up to their potential so far. Agree with that. Brandon says, quick Google search. The lowest team average to ever make the playoffs is actually incredibly recent. Guardians at 226 last year. That is number one, that's the most recent you could get. Number two, it gives me a little bit more of a good feeling about this team. I also have to check myself and remind myself that hitting in baseball is down across the board. So pitching is getting better, and the hitters aren't able to catch up. The pitchers always have the advantage. But man, oh man, do the Padres need to figure out how to get some more runs on the board? Padres need to figure out how to get some more hits. The Padres need to figure out how to take advantage of situations that they need to take advantage of. They need, when they have guys in scoring position, I know it's not going to happen. I know they're not going to be able to get hits every single time with runners in scoring position. But if you're the Padres and you're not scoring and you have a guy in second, I don't care what you have to do. You have to figure out a way to drive that guy in, because that might be your only opportunity of the night, or it might be like the third opportunity of the night. You never know when you're going to get back in scoring position with this team. And Chris and I talked about it earlier. You got to think that the starting pitchers are like, I have to be so perfect because I'm not able to give up a run or else that's it. That they're getting tight and they're throwing around the zone. They're trying not to serve anything up inside the zone. And so all of this that I'm talking about can be fixed. It can be remedied. All they need to do is start playing their game again. We saw it yesterday. We saw it in the first inning yesterday. Samad Taylor walks. Jackson Merrill singles him to third. Manny Machado brings him in with a sac fly. Is that the offense that they're going to get every time? No, obviously not. But that is what the Padres' offense is. Keeping the line moving. And they got to figure out some way to be a team and to take lineups or to take at-bats as a team, as a lineup. Because we see it. And it works. And it looks great, and things are fun, and everything's much better when the Padres are scoring and winning. So, I that sounds like I'm angry. I'm frustrated because I don't like to be wrong, even though I'm wrong a lot. I don't like to be wrong, but I've been sitting here all year saying it's going to get better. So, you got to pay me back, Padres. You got to pay me back, Padres. Tommy says, let me read this first before. Okay. Tommy says, Rangers just got beat by the Twins. If the Padres don't take at least 2 out of 3 from the Rangers, I'd be really disappointed. I'm going to the game on Saturday in Arlington. It'll be my first Padres game in 8 years. Very nice, Tommy. I'm happy that you're getting to go to a game for the first time in 8 years. You will have fun at this game. I'm not saying you're not going to have fun. If the Padres don't take 2 of 3... Yeah, that's not great. This road trip would not be good. They salvaged the Cardinals series. They won the Orioles series. So what is that? They are 3-3 on the road trip so far. If they come back with a losing road trip, that's going to be a failure going into a week of the Braves and the Dodgers. Things do not get easier, and then you have to go to Chicago. And then you go back and play the Dodgers. Urgency is right now. The urgency is absolutely right now. And I'm hoping that they're feeling it a little bit like we're feeling it. This is not the most critical stretch of the weekend by any means, but they have to win this series going into the gauntlet that they're about to go into. Now, the Braves have not been playing well in the last couple days. The Giants beat them a couple times. I know they got rained out today. But it the schedule is going to get tougher, and that's what's happening right now. All right, you're listening to The Scraby Show. I am Matt Scraby. You can follow me on Twitter or X at Matt Scraby. You could also follow me on Instagram at Matt Scraby. A couple things I want to talk about when we get back. It's going to be all over the place. Major League Baseball and the MLBPA met to continue negotiations on the collective bargaining agreement. I'll tell you what they're saying. They're completely, they're going to completely change everything about the draft system, or they want to. And so we'll talk about that. Also, they during the roundtable, maybe later in the show, the most thrilling thing you've ever done. They asked that question. I would have been perfect for this because I've done many different thrilling things in my life. So we have more to go when we get back here on 97.3 The Fan and The Scraby Show.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
World Cup right now. I'm assuming a lot of people are forgoing me tonight, which is fine, in order to watch the Mexico and Korea game tonight. It's happening right now, 20 minutes in, 0-0. We talked to Brian Dunseth a little bit earlier. He was down there. He wasn't calling this game, but he is down there, and he is doing media, and he was talking about how everything shuts down in Mexico when they play their game for the World for the World Cup. So I would actually really like to go to one of those things. I would actually really, really, really like, you know, Sam sold me on this because I guess I wouldn't have paid a lot of money for this, but I'm kind of feeling that FOMO right now. I'm kind of feeling the FOMO of like, everybody's right. This is probably not coming back to the United States for 20 plus years, if that. At this point, I'm too late in the game. I'm not going to be able to do that. But I am going to feel a little FOMO. But I do get into these things, and I know that everybody else really, really, really around the world cares about this. And so that's what I love. That's what I love about it, is that like sports are stopping the world basically right now so that people can watch. I also think people really love the World Cup because we have live sports on all the time. So I think that's what people love. Like the group stages are great because there's games all the time, but then once you get into like the tournament play, it's not as fun because you have to wait for the games. But either way, Mexico and Korea right now playing 0-0, 0-0. What was I going to get into when I got back? I had something. Oh, yes, yes. So earlier today, Chris, we played a clip of Jalen Brunson at the parade for, he was at the parade for the Knicks winning the championship. And Jalen Brunson was addressing the crowd, and he was addressing all of his haters out there and his critics out there. And so here is what he said, and then we'll talk about it.
They have a lot of negative stuff to say. There's a lot of people who have a lot of opinions. But when you prove them wrong, you really don't have to, you don't have to say to them.
So that's what he said. I was very shocked to learn that Chris is very upset about him swearing on the podium, which I think is kind of, I don't know why this bothered Chris so much, but he said he was upset that he was swearing on the podium. He said it like kids shouldn't be able to hear it. This was very out of character for him because I thought he would be all about it or whatever. But here's what I have to say, and I'm taking a direct shot at you, Chris. You can't care about what Jalen Brunson says if you can't clean up your crumbs after the show. So, boom! That happened. All right, let's get into the MLB and MLBPA. They met today, continue negotiations for the next collective bargaining agreement. Now, MLB proposed major changes, major changes to the amateur talent acquisition process. It would shorten the amateur draft. It would make signing bonuses. They would make them more uniform, and they would establish an international draft. But they also are saying you cannot be drafted out of high school now. You cannot be drafted out of high school, which I guess they've been trying to do this for a really long time. But here's what MLB said in their statement. Over the last several years, college baseball has undergone a remarkable transformation, expanded scholarships, NIL opportunities, revenue sharing, and significant investment in facilities and player development have made college baseball an increasingly important pathway that is producing major league-ready talent at an accelerated rate. Blah, 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 blah. By creating a draft system centered around college-age players and making most college players eligible 1 year earlier, more players will benefit from both a college education and an elite development environment while reaching professional baseball and ultimately the major leagues more quickly. We believe these changes will strengthen college baseball and deepen fans' connection to the next generation of major league stars. I'm not really sure how that would work. I'm not really sure how we already don't pay attention to college baseball players, so I don't know how we would how that would be stronger. I don't know how that would be better. Anyway, we look forward to working with the MLBPA throughout the bargaining process to modernize the domestic amateur system in a way that benefits players, clubs, and fans. Now, on the surface, that is a very nice statement. On the surface, that is something I think is very nice of Major League Baseball. They're saying, hey, college baseball now is a really good opportunity for a lot of you out there. College baseball is something that, you know, I think you would benefit a little bit more from instead of going out of high school and working your way up through the minor leagues. This is also a backwards way of owners pushing back the time clock on their players. That is what this is about, in my opinion. I think owners are being sneaky. I think that Major League Baseball knows exactly what they're doing. And I think they're being sneaky by requiring players to be 2 years out of high school. And so that would make each player, you know, it would make their timeline a little bit longer, which means that they would not get paid as early as they would have if they were coming out of high school. So players like I saw earlier, guys like Mike Trout wouldn't be able to come out of high school and then go to a big league team. He wouldn't be allowed to. I think Jason Hayward was straight out of high school and he went to a big league team. But what the MLBPA is saying is that this is just a sham to take away money-making opportunities for the player. Because if you put, say, you're 18, you get out of high school, you get drafted in the amateur draft, you end up, say, working 2 years until you get to the major leagues, and that's like a fast timeline of 2 years to the major leagues. But then you're 20, so you start your time clock at 20. You have 6 years of control, 26, 27. You are going to be able to sign a free agent contract. You're going to be able to do whatever you want. But if you do the thing where you can't come straight out of high school, then that player now is not eligible until like 20. And so then they get drafted at 20. They go to the major league draft. They get drafted. Now, let's say it's still 2 years to get to the major leagues. I do think that Major League Baseball is right by saying they are going to benefit and they're going to be more major league ready by going to college. I do get that. It's almost like a minor leagues of sorts. But now you're putting these guys at 22 when they make their major league debut. And now they're not able to be eligible for a free agent contract till 28, 29. And this is on like the fast track side. Some of these guys take 3 or 4 or 5 years to get to the major league. So some of these guys will never see a free agent window open for them because they don't get to the big leagues fast enough. This is just another ploy of the owners to not have to pay the players. Like this is going to be so ugly when all of this is actually being discussed and like needing to be ironed out and talking about games being missed. These are the type of things that we're going to have to go through and wade through. MLBPA is not going to want this. They're not going to want this, and nor do I think they should want this. I know in the NFL you have to be 2 years out of high school, but I get that. There is no minor leagues for the NFL. Most guys are not ready to play in the NFL at the age of 18 or 19. Like, in baseball and basketball, I know basketball did away with the high school. You couldn't come out of high school, and then they, I think they're back to it. But this is how the owners are trying to get that payroll down. They want that salary cap. They're like, hey, we'll make sure that there's a floor, but they don't want to pay their players down the road. Think about it. If a guy is drafted at 20, we're going to change it. If a guy is drafted at 20, it takes him 4 years to get to the big leagues. There you go. Clock starts. 24 years old, you're in the big leagues. You're not getting a free agent contract till 30 or 31. And if you want a big contract, you have to be one of the better players in baseball to get a big free agent contract. Some of these guys are just going to get like veteran minimums because they're fighting for a spot on the roster. They're not the Manny Machados, Aaron Judges, Bryce Harpers of the world. And you got to think that this is Major League Baseball taking money out of the players' hands. And I hate to make such a big deal out of players making millions of dollars, but when you put it up against what the owners are making on these guys, it's just completely, completely lopsided. And this is just another way to manipulate the season. This is just another way to manipulate the payroll. It's just another way for owners to be like, hey, we're doing a good thing. You can go to college and get... Oh, I did enjoy that one, by the way. More players will benefit from both a college education and an elite development environment. Major League Baseball does not care one bit about players getting college educations. I mean, come on. Are we being serious here? So this release here was a pretty good indication of how far apart these two sides are. Because once this came out, Players Association, immediately started making the arguments for, hey, now you're taking money out of these guys' hands. Like, Mike Trout debuted at 19. We wouldn't have that. Mike Trout wouldn't be able to debut until 20 under these rules if he made the major leagues in his first season after being drafted. So it's just going to be so ugly. It's going to be so ugly, and it's just going to be something that I really don't want to deal with, but it's on the horizon, and I need the players or the Padres to play a little bit better so we can go into the offseason a little bit happier. I don't want to sit on this season for an offseason with collective bargaining agreement fights. Man. Whew. I got Trevor going. Sorry, Trevor. It got me going. I don't like it when people say things like, oh, well, you'll get the benefit of a college education when you didn't care about their college education 2 days ago. It really bothers me. Okay, that's done. Got that out of the system. When we get back, I want to talk about how the umpires are getting back at hitters in the ABS challenges, and we'll talk about the most thrilling things I have ever done when we get back here on the Scraby Show.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.
Final segment of the week for live talk shows on 97.3 The Fan. Sammy Lev will have you tomorrow for a pre-game before the Padres play the Rangers in Texas. And Chris will be there, so that'll be cool. Think about Chris while he's at the game. He's also doing all this JFK stuff, which I'm really jealous of, because there was, I think it was 2 summers ago, I was headed to Iowa for a family reunion on my dad's side. And I originally was going to, I had to go and fly on my own. So I was going through Texas. I was going to switch in Texas to go up to Chicago, which then you drive to Iowa because that's how you get there. And so I left all this time in the middle of the day, knowing that I was going to kill all of this time going out and about in Dallas and seeing things like JFK's, you know, all the JFK stuff and just seeing Dallas. I've never really, I've been there before, but I've never really like spent time there before. I spent like two nights there one time at this place called the Hotel Zaza. And that was the famous story where I locked myself out of my room in my underwear. Yeah. I'm sure people can remember that, but that's basically it. I locked myself out of my room in that hotel in Dallas in my underwear, and I had to walk down to the front desk at like 2 a.m., and I had to ask the guy for a new key. Anyway, so I was doing that whole thing where I wanted to go see all the JFK stuff, and then my flight was delayed a bunch, and I didn't get to go do it. So that was a huge bummer, because then I ended up just sitting in the airport for 3.5 hours instead of the like 11 hours that I had planned for me to go around the city of Dallas. But hopefully Padres can win this series. Hopefully they can. Now, on the roundtable, Ben asked his question today is this: what was the most thrilling thing you've ever done? And this is a perfect question for me, because I've done lots of crazy things, and I'm a little bit of a thrill seeker in that way. I like adrenaline. Maybe this is part of my all or nothing personality, my inner alcoholic personality, that I want these things. But I've gone skydiving twice. So that was fun. There's one video that we have during breaks that I play of me skydiving with my brother. He no longer does the skydiving, but I've done that twice with him. I've done tons and tons and tons of roller coasters. And I have to say, there was this one roller coaster that I did when I was living in Cincinnati that we had to drive. I can't remember the place where it was, but this thing was like a wooden roller coaster. And it was like the quickest roller coaster east of the Mississippi, wooden roller coaster. Gotta tell you, I'm never doing the wooden roller coaster thing again. That's as far as I go with the thrill stuff. Because the wooden roller coaster, like, honestly, the whole thing moves. Like, the track moves. And I know it's decently safe, but when you are standing in line and the entire track moves above your head when they come around the corner, it doesn't make you feel good about that stuff. But I remember going on this one ride that the whole thing was I'm getting like chills thinking about it. But you go up to the top, you're hanging from the roller coaster thing, and you go up to the top. I think this was in Tampa, and I did this when I was very little. But you go up to the top, and they tilt you down so that your legs are just hanging, and your chest is pressing into the whole harness thing. And then all of a sudden you just drop. And so I've done that. And that was pretty crazy. Honestly, talking about it kind of gave me I just don't even want to think about it. Because, man, was that... I could still remember how scared I was. If I could swear right now on the radio, I would. I totally would. Because it was that scary. SD Mike says, Lex Luthor drop of doom. I thought for sure the harness was going to open on me. It's the worst feeling in the world. It's the worst feeling in the world. But other than that, I want to do more thrilling things. I want to like do a NASCAR experience or an IndyCar experience where you get to drive a car really fast. I also want to do one of those like plane things where you get in the back of a plane, not a fighter or anything like that. But... you get one of those plane rides and you sit in the back of like a jet and they take you through and they put you through the ringer. And I would love to do that as well. Love to, because I am a plane nerd. And one day, maybe I had a friend that got to do the Blue Angels years ago. And I was like, man, that is really cool. You got to sit in a Blue Angels plane and go through some of the routine with them. That's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome, I have to say. All right, we still got the daily gripe. Mexico and Korea are going to half. It looks like, I mean, they're about to hit stoppage time, so it's about to be, it's 44-45. Nil-nil. So nothing going on really there. That game coming from Guadalajara. Now, umpires getting back at hitters. you know, there's some umpires when a hitter challenges ABS-wise, if they tap their helmet to challenge, there are some umpires that I feel like are frustrated or angry by it because they kind of snap back, you know, pitch was called a ball, batter, challenging. You know, you could just hear the anger in their voice. And then they're vindicated when they're right. And the umpire can smile a little bit. But I always feel like they don't like... they don't like it. They don't like to be put on blast for making a bad call. Now, some of these are really close. And like the naked eye cannot see the ball touching the corner by 0.00001 inch. So I'm not going to blame the umpires for that. But here's what they've been doing that I've noticed that I think is funny, because they can control this situation in a couple ways. Most of the time, well, the first way is if the team has no challenges. They would love to just have the team with no challenges. But the umpires won't. You're seeing this more and more. They're not letting them challenge after a certain time. So we saw it, I think, with Xander Bogaerts the other day. I know a while back Xander did it, but he was a little too late. And so the umpire is taking liberties a little bit with that 2 seconds that they're allowed to have before they challenge. Like the challenge has to basically come after the call is made. And if you waver a little bit, they're not going to give it to you. So that's how the umpires can control it, number one. Number two, I hadn't seen this yet, but in the A's and Pirates game last night, Brian Reynolds challenged a pitch, or wanted to challenge a pitch, but the umpire said no because the dugout helped him. Now, maybe the dugout just yelled challenge or something like that, but I have not seen a denial of ABS yet, and maybe it's happened, but I have not seen a denial of ABS due to the dugout helping you make the call. They really want to make sure, and I think this is a very important part of the ABS thing, is they really want to make sure that you are not using TVs in the dugout. You're not using any sort of technology to be able to know whether or not you should challenge that. That's why it's 2 seconds and pace of play of the game, too. You can't just be waiting for, you know, 30 seconds up there every time. But the umpires are getting back by finding ways to not let them challenge. Now, I'm sure that not all of the umpires are angry when it happens. I'm sure that some of them are actually using it as a, you know, like a good measuring tool to see where they're at. Like, I would think that would be helpful during a game, because I know that they can go back and they could see where pitches were between innings. So I would think that this would be a great tool for the umpires. Because in my mind, if you keep calling a ball low that is actually a strike, then the next pitch that looks like that, wouldn't you call it a strike because you know that the zone is there? I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking this a little bit too much. But I would think that this would be a valuable tool to umpires instead of being an enemy to them. You, no one wants to show up the umpire unless you're an umpire that likes to show up players, Doug Eddings. But if you're an umpire that is just doing his job, I got no problems if you miss a few pitches here and there. I got no problems. That's what ABS is for. But if you're an umpire that is taking everything personally, you need to check yourself. Need to check yourself. All right. I think I've like literally gone through everything. Actually, no. I've gone through almost everything. So you know what? Let's get into this.
What's annoying Scraby today? Let's find out. It's time for the Daily Gripe.
All right. So I have two daily gripes. One is a gripe with myself. And I don't know if... Does anyone else sometimes get so overwhelmed by everything that's going on that you just don't care about anything anymore? Like, you just go, everything is terrible. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care how it ends up. I don't care what happens later. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Like, everything is overwhelming. Like, what's going on with the Padres right now? I just say, I don't care, because everything comes at me at once. Or you or everything that's happening in the world and all the stuff you care about. But you get so frustrated, you just don't care for a little bit. And honestly, my care will always come back. But it's a little bit freeing for a second to disassociate and say, you know what? I don't care. I don't care what's going on in the world. I'm so fed up with everything that I'm just going to not care about it and I'm going to feel better. So I don't know if anyone really does that, but... Oh, okay, I got some backup. Eric said, yes. KG says, only for the last 10 years, Scraby. SD Mike says, that's like every day at work for me. Eric says he hides in his house. I like to hide in my house, too. I'm definitely someone who likes to retreat into my home instead of going out into the public. But, yeah, I thought that it just dawned on me the other day because I was rushing here from my other job. I still had not done any of the Big Five. There were things happening, and so I was so locked up in my head, I just said, I don't care. And I disassociated, and guess what? Everything was much better. Anyway, that's not my real daily gripe. My real daily gripe is this. I cannot stand the soccer players that go down on the field. That is the one drawback. That was the one drawback to me in this whole World Cup thing. I understand that getting a slide tackle right into your ankle may hurt, but there is so much time spent with guys grabbing their ankles. Again, I'm not saying that they are not hurting. I'm not saying that they're not injured. I'm just saying that we don't need to see them on the field all the time. Like, I saw a play in this Mexico-Korea game, and it was the Korean player, the Mexican player pushed him from behind, and the Korean player tripped over his own 2 feet and went down and immediately went to his ankle and was in so much pain. But we're watching the replay. The guy never touched his ankle. So what in the heck are you screaming about? And I know that might be some sort of stalling technique so that you can catch your breath or something like that. But that's one thing I think that football or soccer or whatever you want to call it, that's one thing I think they could figure, they could take care of. Like, how are you really going to tell someone they're not hurt? But or just don't make it a part of stoppage time. Like, we don't want to see you lying on the field grabbing your ankle the entire time, even though you tripped yourself. It wasn't like someone kicked you in the ankle. You tripped yourself, sir. And yes, it may have hurt, but get up and move on. That's the one thing about professional soccer that I cannot stand. And it's all of the falling down all the time and acting like their leg is broken and then 5 minutes later they're up running around. All right, that's it. That's all I'm going to say. Other than that, I love the World Cup. I am all in on it. I am going to be watching it over the weekend. I'm going to be watching this as I sign off, but hopefully there's not a lot of flopping in the rest of this game. All right, that's it for the Scraby Show. That's it for 97.3 The Fan this week. The talk shows. Sammy Lev going to be with you tomorrow for the Padres game. I'll be back with you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go Padres.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.